Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Stephen Hosmer, CFO, co-president, and co-CEO of Royal Energy. The company trades on the NASDAQ, and the ticker symbol is ROYL. Thanks for joining us today, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great. Now, I'll start off by talking to us about the regulatory approval for drilling locations in the third quarter wells.
Yes. Royal has received our approval to commence drilling for the California Sacramento Basin wells that we've planned for third quarter. There are a number of low-risk, great opportunities to develop gas in Sacramento Basin for what we expect to be winter delivery.
Great. And can you update us on some of your key projects? I know the company has wells in California, Texas, as well as in the Rocky Mountains.
Right. Our core area of operation is California. We do have Gulf Coast and Rocky Mountains up in the Rocky Mountain property is near the Flat Rock field. In fact, it expanded the field boundaries now include part of our acreage. But once again, our core area is California Sacramento Basin gas. The company is specialized in being a natural gas producer. We're about 92% natural gas. And California Sac Basin has the best economic prospect for development of gas of any area, simply because of the type of wells that we're drilling, the cost of the wells compared to the production. And our focus, even within that core area, is going to be in our Lone Star field. These wells that we're drilling here in third quarter are extensions to the Lone Star field that we've been developing since we originally shot seismic in 1998. And we've been drilling up there very successfully, and these are some additional extension wells.
Great. And you also recently provided a production and operations analysis and cost analysis. What are some of the highlights of this, which I believe was for like six years worth of analysis?
I'm not having that right in front of me at this particular moment, but the general sense of our Lone Star field, as I mentioned, we shot seismic out there in 1998. As we've moved forward, the company's net production has increased from 1.6 million cubic feet a day to now 2.23 million per day. We've experienced a significant decrease in the price environment from last year. Average pricing for the first half of 2008 was in excess of $9. Average pricing for the first half of 2009 was just into the low threes. So a significant price drop in oil and gas product prices, but the company has responded very well to that in reducing our cost structure, trimming back exploration to the very, very key exploration dollars needed to advance high-value projects such as this Lone Star field. So we're very well positioned. We've experienced these cycles before. And this is a very interesting time. It's a great time for the average retail investor, for the average person to highlight gas purchases, highlight the sector, simply because it is an under-recognized sector at this point. We feel that it's been hit far too hard in the perception side, where the reality is that it has a lot of movement and a lot of potential for upside movement. One of the elements of that is that the ratio of gas prices to oil over the last 25 years, that generally has held at a 10-to-1 ratio. Gas prices are typically one-tenth of the oil price. So a $9 gas price was equivalent to a $90 oil price. And presently, that ratio has slipped to 20-to-1. Where we've got a $3 gas price and oil prices at $60-$65 a barrel. So that price parity should come back into alignment. We don't see oil slipping down to $35 a barrel, so the price movement we anticipate in the gas side, and particularly with some of the push toward the more environmentally friendly aspects of gas, we believe that that price parity could actually swing even closer than the 10-to-1. The thermal equivalent or the energy value is more of a 6-to-1 ratio, and we feel that we could see gas push even into that range.
Certainly, and in terms of what differentiates Royal from other players in the energy sector?
Well, we're certainly different than ExxonMobil in many ways. They're in our space. They're part of our industry code. But Royal is specialized strictly on the upstream, the exploration, the development, the production of natural gas. So we're a very, very pure play to natural gas. We don't have the downstream. We don't have the integrated chemicals and the other things that go along with the very large companies. And we also have a very nimble movement in our ability to deal with cost structures, reducing our operating costs to keep them in line with the current economic conditions, where some of the larger companies have very, very large infrastructure. They are much more slow to respond to these kind of conditions. And so their cost structures don't come down as quickly as their revenues do. And on the other side of the curve, their revenues don't accelerate as fast as a company the size of Royal. So we've been through these cycles. We're small. We're very, very lean. And it means that we have to be very responsive to the market.
Right. And in terms of walk us through your background and experience, Stephen, as well as that of some of the key management team at Royal.
Well, we started out as a family business. The family was investing in oil back in the late 70s and early 80s. And as a result, we sort of moved into the genesis of a company that over the next 6 or 7 years developed into an exploration firm and then grew up and went public back in the early 90s. Both of the second generation folks, Don Hosmer and myself, are acting officers. Our father is retired as chairman. But my background is finance, an MBA through Pepperdine, and then direct field experience. Part of my initial experience was sleeping in the car outside of the drill site and waiting for the well to come in. So I've literally from the ground up been involved in the business all of my life, and then we bring in some very good technical expertise. Our chief geologist, head of exploration, has been with the majors and major independents for all of his career. We're fortunate to have him on a semi-retired basis here with us in his. His love of geology, he's come to work with Royal and help us to develop our fields in Northern California. We've recruited some top talent in geophysical to interpret our seismic, 3D seismic surveys that we conduct. And so we've put together a great team of very skilled individuals that our specialty is in processing seismic for bright spot, amplitude anomaly, things called AVO or amplitude versus offset, which are key pieces of the technical puzzle to reducing risk when we drill.
Right, and in terms of some of your, what specific goals and objectives has the management team set for the company over the course of the next, or what does the company management hope to accomplish over the course of the next year?
Right now, the best thing that we can do is set our strategy on fulfilling our mission of reducing risk to every degree possible in exploration while still experiencing the upside potential and economic benefit of exploration dollars spent. But the key part of that over the next 18 months is to account for, to deal with the economic climate that we're in. We believe that the climate is a stagflation, pre-inflationary cycle. which for us means that we need to get our capital expended, get our wells drilled while the costs are still low, and keep our product as keep production as low as we can at the moment for delivery into the inflationary cycle that we see coming. When we see the amount of money that's being spent in the stimulus and the amount of government spending that's taking place, we recognize that there's no possibility that other than inflation coming on very strong. And as a owner of a commodity, the gas that we have in our reserve base in the ground, those commodities can be produced out and delivered into that increasing market or that inflationary cycle. So our strategy for dealing with the conditions right now are to employ as much capital as we can, which means that we run as lean as we can, putting every dollar into development so that our reserves are growing, our ability to deliver gas, although present gas production we're going to hold pretty low, and it's going to keep things looking pretty slim. And reserve that. Keep, as they say, keep the powder dry for the turn in the sector.
Great. And as far as growth, will you continue to grow organically, or will you consider some M&A activities? And if so, what sort of criteria do you look for in companies that you're hoping or looking to acquire?
Generally speaking, we're going to grow by executing our business model. Acquisitions have taken place very, very rarely over our company history, only when they are pieces that fit very cleanly into our plan. And while we would look at or entertain some of those, particularly as many of those acquisition candidates might be undervalued in this market, what we do need to be careful of is not doing financial growth, but simply doing reserve growth, and the financial growth will follow.
Right. And in terms of alliances and partnerships, joint ventures, are they an important part of your business model?
We do consider all of our vendors, all of our suppliers, service companies as our partners. We try to work as closely as we can. In this market, those folks are struggling along, and we have, over our company history, we've gone out and made advance payments to drillers and other things to keep them in business while the market had a downturn. And we'll continue to explore those kind of alliances, those kind of partnerships, in order to keep our costs as effective as we can. In terms of industry partners, yeah, we're a very interesting industry that we can go out and compete head-to-head with another company for a lease, and then we've got to turn right around and work with them to develop that property, because usually we're all going to end up with bits and pieces of a field, and we've got to work cooperatively. So as a company, we understand the balance between a good competitive cycle, but to do it cleanly and nicely so that we can work together with our neighbors as well as we can, and ultimately for the maximum production, both for our benefit but also for the resource development benefit of the property.
Right, very good answer. And as far as investors are concerned, do you believe that investors right now, Stephen, understand the general direction of the company?
I believe the investment community to be a very smart group of folks that understands a great deal about what they're going to put their money. It's not making the decision of whether to have lunch and what kind of lunch to have. This is an important choice to make of where you're going to allocate your resources for maximum growth. And we appreciate the fact that most of our shareholders have either met one of the officers or heard from us on a interview much like this, and they've done their due diligence and understand what they're investing in. So we do appreciate a very high degree of shareholder following and people that understand our business, and we encourage that, because the more people understand what they're doing, the better they understand the oil and gas sector, the more logical choice Royal Energy is to their portfolio.
Great. And once again, joining us today is Stephen Hosmer, co-CEO, co-president, and CFO of Royal Energy, which trades on NASDAQ, and the ticker symbol is ROYL, is currently trading at $2.04 a share. And before we conclude, Stephen, what are some of the key reasons why Royal Energy represents a good long-term investment opportunity to potential investors?
As I said, it's a great inflation hedge by owning a commodity that can be delivered into what we see as a very, very strong inflationary cycle that's coming.
Well, great. We certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and progress, as well as that of in the industry. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.